in France a couple weeks ago, spent a couple weeks in the south of France, not just soaking up the sun, but we had a great time, and we talked through the Ten Commandments, and there's a commandment with promise. Do you know which commandment it is? Honor what? Your father, yeah. Oh, and your mother, okay. It's a dual thing there, okay. Honor your father and your mother, how that your days may be long in the land and that the Lord your God is giving you. This is Exodus 20. This is like an important element. I want you to think about like a group of people who had never had to make a decision, really, because when you were a slave, pretty much your schedule is dictated to you. And when the people of God came out of Egypt, they had never really learned how to decide for themselves. First thing God told them was to have no gods before him, and that. But before that, he introduced himself and said, I am the Lord, your God, who has delivered you. And now I'm giving you like a series of statements that if you listen to them and you apply them in your life, life would be very good, actually. And this is one of them. Honor your father and your mother. And this is really about where did you come from? Like Pastor Schaller said this morning, that he has a little bit of problem with Adam and Eve. You know, his descendants are Adam. And we do. This is, we have an origin. And it goes all the way back to the beginning. We have an origin. I read in a book that there's a sign on just about all of us. Some of us don't have this for some reason or other. But there's a sign on every one of us that points to our origin and our connection. Do you know what it is? Belly button. Belly button. You got it. You're right. Your belly button. It's like, you know, the belly button shows that you were connected to something else, someone else at some point in the past. Right? It's true, right? I've been told by a couple of people that they don't have belly buttons. And I was told by a woman in France that, you know, some have lost their belly buttons, but they recreate it because the sense of connection that that body image has without it is lost. You believe that? It's true. The mind is an amazingly scary place without the Holy Spirit leading it into the right direction, right? But back to this, honor your father and your mother. Honor. Honor is important. And Psalm 8 tells us something about the significance of fatherhood and parenthood in general. In Psalm 8, it talks about the weapon that is the cry of an infant. You can read it there. I won't turn there, but you can read in Psalm 8. It says that God, that every birth, the cries of babes and sucklings are a terror to the one who denies that he has an origin, and this is Satan. See, this is the thing that Satan can't deny. He too was made. In a sense, he too has the same father that we have. God made him, put him into order wherever he was supposed to be. And this is why this is like such a, this idea of honoring father and mother is really important to God, and honoring our origins, where we came from, being fruitful, multiplying. This is an important thing. And this is why it's so contended against, because every birth that happens, every cry of a baby sends a terror into hell, because angels are a closed class. They don't multiply. They can't make any more of themselves. They can't do that. And so, but every time we reproduce as human beings, we have a direct affront to the kingdom of Satan. And that's why we honor these commandments. We honor father and mother because they produce the weapons that are most effective in the warfare that God has declared on this planet. Adam and Eve, be fruitful and multiply. Why? Well, the devils can't. That's not implied there, but the devil knows this. It's really the reason behind all of the opposition to birth itself, to marriage in the right context. All of these things are because a denial of this. Honor, father, mother, fruitful, multiply. It's really what we're here for. And that's why a day like this and a day like Mother's Day is really important for us to like embrace and rejoice in what it is. We are weapons. Our children are weapons. Think about that when you change a diaper the next time. This is a weapon in the hand of God, and it's speaking to the devil. That baby is speaking to the devil because he can't, it's, you know, he can't multiply. He can't make any more of his minions. Satan can't do that. And he denies. He's living in denial. He's living in an alienation. And he can't deny the fact that he too was made by someone bigger, powerful, and all-knowing. He is none of those things. And we honor the Father because he's made us to be fruitful, to be multiplying in terms of people and also spiritually. So this is the way I think of Father's Day. It's, you know, it's just that that's what God has given us to be people who reproduce, multiply, because it's important to the kingdom and the victory that God will ultimately win. All right? Okay, so let's pray for the offering now. So we would like that to be fruitful also. We'd like all of your paychecks to be fruitful and multiply. We're going to pray for that right now. Paychecks from there to this side all the way over and in anyone else on the campus, your paycheck would be fruitful and it would multiply and that you would also be led to give to this ministry and its purpose. So God, thank you for this evening. Bless this offering. Bless this time of worship as we give. In Jesus' name, amen.
Pastor Steve's message was profound, wasn't it? Wow, the birth of a baby. Yet out of the mouths of babes you have perfected strength against your enemies. Satan is an enemy of God. When a baby is born, it's kind of God saying, hello, can you take two human cells and put them together? And they divide billions of times. And a cell says, now we make kidney cells. Now we make liver cells, bone cells, blood vessel cells, brain tissue, eye tissue. How does that work? Huh? Short answer. God. God speaks through babies, doesn't he? How about, have you ever had a baby, a young person, a young child, 3, 4, 5, 6 years old, tell you something from God? Anybody? It happens. God can use a baby to speak. Isn't that a good message? Honor your father and your mother. And I feel very honored today being here with our Heavenly Father honoring us, and we honor him. Isn't that good? We have a lot of respect for God, and that's so beautiful. I sat with my mother this afternoon. She's 97. My sister Cynthia is taking good care of her. And she's very much dedicated and committed to her. And my mom, you know, she saw me, but she didn't recognize me right away. Takes a second. If I say mom, she recognizes my name. And she's like turning on a light bulb. Her eyes and everything about her. She's so thankful. When you get old, what do you appreciate? I don't know yet. When you get old, what do you appreciate? Everything. How about family? How about friends? How about the Last Supper when Jesus is leaving? He has a dinner for his friends, his disciples. When David was dying, he listed his 37 mighty men in the Bible, 2 Samuel 23. When we get older, we appreciate deep things, real things, important things, godly things. Our convention is starting tonight. Okay, calm down. I'm done. The convention is starting. When Scott Dubay makes an announcement like that, you know that something is going on. Amen. Thanks, Scott. Tomorrow night, there's a group of people. We're going to do evangelism in Federal Hill and in the church, have some time and fellowship. Tuesday night with Pastor Wright, we're taking a bus up to Havre de Grace on the promenade there by the water, the Susquehanna. We'll be handing out tracts, singing, talking, fellowshipping. You are welcome. This is a church event. Wednesday morning at 10 o'clock, we have our leadership seminar starting in classroom 2. You are welcome. All these things are like pre-convention times. I want to piggyback on what Scott said. How many young guys would like to handle a drill? What else do they do? Paintbrush, broom. How many young guys? Anybody under 30 years old, stand up. You want to do that with Scott and the old guys. Just stand up. David Capunctious Pilot will be there. Arbor will be there. These guys, thank you. Come on, stand. Keep on standing. How about over 40? Not okay. All right. Hey, wait a minute. Okay, thank you so much. What did I want to say? Okay, here it is. Just before service, I went down here and asked a couple brothers, could you share something, give greetings from India, and then Pastor Stefan Stein from Berlin, Germany. So I put him on the spot. I said, no, just share what is in your heart and give us greetings from where you're coming from. The first one, Pastor Guru, is from southern India, a disciple of Pastor Brian Coelho in the church in Bangalore. And just for you to know, he's the only guru that I will listen to. So welcome, Pastor Guru, tonight.
Good evening. Okay. I was telling Pastor Anil that we must sweat maybe to get over the jet lag. When Pastor Shala met me, I started sweating. No. Okay, thank you. Greetings from Bangalore. I moved from Bangalore to Coimbatore 2 years ago for church planting work. And my wife and I and 2 daughters, we are doing great in the place called Coimbatore. Can you pronounce Coimbatore? Okay, then you can pray for that city. It's been 2 years there. Pastor Shala was coming to Bangalore in the month of May. A guy who came to our church recently, I was praying that he could get to come to the conference in Bangalore, because I came to the ministry through a conference in 2003, what it does to us. So I was praying for 2 months that this new believer would come to the conference in May, so for which Pastor Shala came. So a lot of hindrances, and then he came. I was very happy. He attended the conference, and then we were back to our place in Coimbatore. And the following Sunday, we have 2 services. One, the first one is English 9 to 11 in the morning on Sunday, and then 11:30 to 1:30, the local language Tamil service. And I did the 2 services, and we went to the fellowship hall, and we were doing raps, and they were asking many questions. And towards the end, I was a little bit tired, and I felt very dry. So I was telling this man who came to the conference, I told him that I'm very dry, you know what he said? Pastor Shala said in the conference, come to ground zero. So that's a great answer, right? So we can we can come to ground zero. And he said, think of your salvation. He's just a new believer. Think of your salvation. So I've been doing that for quite some time. So coming to ground zero is very important. When he said that, I was really like, no, overflowing. I was thinking about this verse in Ecclesiastes chapter 11, verse 3. It's an interesting verse. If the clouds are full, the entire chapter, at least 3/4 of the chapter, speaking about sowing by faith. If the clouds are full, they pour out rain upon the earth. And then there is another comparison that is done with the first sentence. A tree falls whether toward the north or toward the south. Wherever the tree falls, there it lies. God is making a comparison with something that is lifeless, clouds. But displaying life, right? It's full. And then the other one is something that had a life, that is the tree connected to the root. And suddenly it is lifeless. It is down. You see in the morning it is fallen down to the north. And then you go to the evening, it is still there because it is fallen down. So just thinking that from the tree condition, where it falls to the north and or south. Wherever it is, it lies there. It takes just a second for us to go from the tree condition to the cloud. We're just coming to ground zero. That's it. We can be full and we can be pouring down, right? So I was thinking about this thought that God has invested a lot in our lives. So it's really great that we can be full all the time and pouring down whatever God has filled in us. So that's our salvation. So the joy of the Lord, right, is our strength. And David prayed for it. It's really amazing that we are saved and we are thankful to the Lord. And thank you so much. And you people are great people. And a lot of people are praying for years to come to the convention. And we have been listening and watching. And we are very close to you in our hearts. Thank you so much.
You know, I never thought of it like that. That was very good. I want to repeat it just because I'm excited about it. Can you put that proverb up again? Ecclesiastes 11:3. Yeah. The tree falls toward the south or toward the north. In the place where the tree falls, there it shall be. Why does it stay there? Because it's dead, right? How does that relate to people? When people fall down, do they stay there? Proverbs 16:24. When the wicked fall, they fall into mischief. It gets worse. When the righteous man falls seven times, he gets up and he keeps going. And for us, it doesn't stop. For a tree, it does. A tree, it's over. It stops. There it is. But not for us. When we fall down, we get up and get going. Maybe it's better than ever before. We don't stop. Human beings don't stop. Isn't that good? We just keep going. I don't know. That's amazing. That's a good word. I love that. Thank you so much. Next speaker is from Berlin, Deutschland. Yeah, Pastor Stefan Stein. Praise the Lord. Welcome him.
Good evening. It's good to be here. And greetings from Berlin, Germany. I just found out this afternoon that Pastor Schaller's forefathers, they stole the horses from my family. No, they didn't. I don't know. So, but I talked to you about that later. So, wow, it's good to be here. And for this week before convention even, to have this opportunity. And I've also thought about what it means to come, the expectation that we can have, and how we also cannot have expectation sometimes because we're so used to certain things. But what has encouraged me is this one a lady from our church and her daughter, they're coming for the first time to convention, and to see their excitement and their expectation and the questions and how is it going to be, what we're going to do, how is it, and we're like, yeah, don't worry about it, it's all, you know. But I'm thinking the way I say it sometimes, it's because I need to have an expectation, you know, rather than be in the habit and think nothing great about it. And this is something that when you see how the Jews went down to the feasts in Jerusalem and how they prepared, how they spent, how they had to make sacrifices to go, it shows what the priorities were and what the expectation was. And I think this is something that we can do together. You know, I know when most of you live here, and you, most of you probably come to the convention, but it's a time that is so special and so a time of such refreshment for us. And I'm so blessed that I can be here for this time. And I just had one thought maybe that I wanted to share with you. And by the way, we had Jenny was here from Berlin last year for Bible college, and she was so blessed. And we were blessed also by her growth here. I mean, I had no doubt that this was going to happen, but we were praying for that. And her dad came for the ceremony, the graduation ceremony, and he also was so blessed. And it's like when you see that, it's like it reminds you of the ground zero time, also where you think about, wow, like this is how it is, and this is how it was, and this is how it always should be. And this was because of this church also and what God has been doing here. And in the hearts of every person, and this accommodating spirit, this where we feel so welcome and so loved, it's like not even a question, do I want to come? Of course I want to come. I'm loved here. Why wouldn't I want to come here? And just one thought that I wanted to share from the book of Proverbs. I have thought about these verses this past week, and it's from Proverbs 37, where it says, the first verse says, do not fret because of evildoers, nor be envious of the workers of iniquity. And I thought sometimes, especially in this century, this day and age that we live in, it's so easy to be intimidated and to think about maybe how these things, that are, the things that happen in the world, how they can affect us. And I was encouraged just to read these verses and to think about the little time that we have. Like, this is just for a little while. And it says that in verse 3 that we should trust in the Lord and do good and dwell in the land and feed on his faithfulness. Delight yourself also in the Lord, and he shall give you the desires of your heart. And as we come here, we desire God. We say, God, I need you. God, I'm nothing. I'm zero. I need you. You are everything for me. And I'm so dependent upon you and upon your work in my life that you do something. And it tells us to commit your way to the Lord. Trust also in him. Like, we give him our lives. We give him our troubles. We give him the worries that we can have. And it says, he shall bring forth your righteousness as the light and your justice as the noonday. And rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. And I was thinking that too, that sometimes we have a hard time to wait and even less to wait patiently. especially when things can become difficult. But the Bible tells us to not fret, to not be anxious, to not be angry, but to think about the fact that God is with us and to delight in Him. And I think that's also what we have come to do here for convention. We delight in Him. We delight in His work. We delight in His people. We delight in missions. We want to be encouraged in missions, refreshed in missions. And also we want to learn to be patient, because it's just a little while. It's just a short time. And God will, He will restore righteousness. He will bring about, He will show us the end of things, and He will send His Son back into this earth. And this is what we're expecting, and this is what we're here for. And it's just a short time. And I want to thank you all for having us, and for welcoming us, for loving us, for being here, for being faithful, and for being patient, for waiting upon God, for delighting in Him, and for being such an important part in our lives. For your prayers, your encouragement, and it means so much to us. So thank you. Amen. God bless you.
So after the service tonight, Pastor Shabelli has helped us, and we have these prayer meetings up through to the convention. And instead of a wrap tonight, we have a prayer meeting in here. You're welcome, maybe a half hour at the end of the service. And we're just, I can understand or identify with Pastor Stefan. Being a missionary and coming home. By the way, did I say hi to Avi Altonen? Okay, Avi, how about Carolyn? Anybody else? How about, oh my gosh, you guys are awesome. We love you so much. Praise God. Being a missionary, coming home and being prayed for, being loved up, being encouraged, and listening. And the Spirit speaking, well, I just believe that this is going to be the best. And whatever that means, God knows. And then I love what Pastor Stefan said about, we don't have a lot of time. I mean, when is Jesus coming, Maybe some people don't want to hear that, but a lot of us do. Man, I'll tell you. We're ready to go. I mean, but in any case, we it's going to happen one day. Now I'm excited about it. Okay, welcome, Pastor Love.
Okay, praise the Lord. Lord, bless this portion, just as you have the two previous portions, and use it to encourage our hearts. Thank you again, Lord, for what's coming up in the next couple of weeks. And we're just so grateful to be a part of it. Thank you for calling us out of the world and into your body for this life. And bless now in Jesus' name. Amen. 1 Samuel chapter 30. This familiar story, I think, to many of us, in a good sense. It's when David and his men, his mighty men, returned after doing battle with one of their enemies, the Philistines. They returned to the city of Ziklag, and only to discover that another one of their enemies, the Amalekites, had invaded from the south the city, smitten the city, burned it with fire, and taken the women captives and all that were therein, slew not any, either great or small, but carried them away and went on their way. And of course, you can imagine what that must have been like for David and his men after returning from battle. And you think you're coming home to your family, you think you're coming home to your loved ones, and you find the city destroyed, you know, burned, and you look for your wives and you look for your children and you can't find them. I mean, this is a distressing situation, to say the least. And of course, the people that were with David, the men, they lifted up their voice and wept until they had no more power to weep. And verse 6 says, and David was greatly distressed, and the people even spoke of stoning him, because the soul of all the people was grieved, every man for his sons and his daughters. And then this, of course, is the great turning point in the passage. But David encouraged himself in the Lord. How grateful are we for the body of Christ and for what's coming up in the next 2 weeks, the convention? And it's almost as if, you know, the courage is going to be poured into our souls morning, noon, night, and then late into the night, right? Lots of encouragement. And how grateful we are to be around people that encourage us. But we all realize and recognize this as well. There will be times in our lives when we maybe look for those people to encourage us, but they are, for one reason or another, not there. And those are the moments where we learn to encourage ourselves, to build ourselves up in our most holy faith, to remind us of who we are and the God who is for us and the grace that is available for all of us. That's what David did. He encouraged himself in the Lord, called for the priest, prayed, inquired of the Lord, and asked God, should we pursue after this troop? It's kind of encouraging to even think that someone like David, because we think of his stature, we think of his place in Israel's history, we think, well, he must have always known what to do. He must have always done the right thing. Well, he didn't know what to do. He had to seek God like we seek God. He had to ask of God like we ask of God. And so he prayed and he asked God, shall we pursue them, our adversaries? And the Lord, of course, answered and said, yes, pursue them and you will recover all without fail. And so David gathered his 600 men that were with him, and they came near the brook Besor, where those that were left behind stayed. And David pursued with 400 men, for 200 abode behind because they were so faint they could not go over the brook Besor. Think about that. 600 men started, but only 400 men. 200 stayed behind because they were too faint. Now, remember in the previous chapter, they had just returned from battling the Philistines. They were already worn out warriors. They were already overwhelmed. I can't even imagine what it must have been like to come from battle, to return home, to see the devastation in your own city and town in Ziklag, and then to think now we've got to mount back up on our horses and head right back out and do battle again if we're going to find our wives and our children. But 400 went, 200 stayed behind. And, you know, they must have been so worn out that they just couldn't go on. Now, I've often wondered that when David and the 400 men, and you know how the story unfolds in this 30th chapter, they came up across this Egyptian servant, and he had been with the Amalekites, but they left him behind because he was so sick that they said, he's just, you know, we can't carry him, so let's just leave him to die. Well, David's men come across him, and he informs them as to where the Amalekites are. And David said, can you lead us to them? He says, yeah, promise me that you won't kill me. David says, no worries. He takes them down there, and then they pursue them, and they recover everything. They recover all of the wives. They're all the children. And remember, the 200 men, they're back at the brook. And now David comes back with the 400 and the wives and the children. And it's always struck me. I mean, I wonder what those wives thought of their husbands who did not come to get them.
because they were too tired. I mean, again, I'm sure that they were just, you know, worn out. I mean, just probably on the verge of collapsing, and rightly so. But you're going to still have to explain to your wife why you were too tired to come and rescue me and the children. But anyhow, they came back. And when they returned, this is what's interesting. It says, when they returned, David came to the 200 men in verse 21, which were so faint that they could not follow David. And they had made also to abide at the brook Besor. And then they went forth to meet David and to meet the people that were with him. And when David came near unto the people, he saluted them. Then answered all the wicked men, the men of Belial, and those that went with David, and said, because they did not go with us, we will not give them aught of the spoil which we have recovered, save to every man his wife and his children, that they may lead them away and depart. And David said, you will not do so, my brethren, with that which the Lord hath given us. You see, David realized that we weren't the ones that got it. God gave it to us. And that's that principle about the grace of God. Whenever you recognize that God has given you something freely, you also realize that's what you need to do for others. Freely we have received, freely we give. We are the gracious recipients of God's unlimited, unending grace. What do? We turn around and we give it to those that are just as undeserving as we once were and still are. So David said, no. They're going to share in the spoil just as if they went to battle. Those that tarried by the stuff, they partake alike. I like that. Because it reminds us, doesn't it? This is David, but it reminds us of the work of the Son of David on the cross at Calvary. Because, you know, the work of Calvary, it doesn't just benefit the strong in the body of Christ. Amen. It just doesn't, you know, it just doesn't prevail for those that maybe consider themselves worthy or more deserving, or maybe they're more effective workers or servants in the local church. No, we know it's for everybody. It's for the weak. It's for the strong. It's for the young. It's for the old. It's for the strong. It's for the feeble. It's for everybody. It prevails for all of us. And it's not withheld from any. But notice who were the ones that said, no, they shouldn't. It was the wicked men. I mean, think about it. In a matter of days, this chapel is going to be filled every day and every night. And every single person that's in this chapel that knows Christ partakes of all the blessings that come as a result of the finished work of the cross. It doesn't matter how weak they are. It doesn't matter how feeble they are. It doesn't matter how worn out they may feel in life as a believer. They are just as much the benefits as those that are, you know, serving, loving, giving, caring. It doesn't matter. Everybody partakes of the blessings of Calvary. Doesn't matter. I love that about the grace of God. And again, there will always be. Imagine somebody could come in here that's maybe been walking with God for 50 years and then look over in the next seat and see a man who got saved in the chapel last week. And must be, you could easily think and say, well, they shouldn't receive the blessings that I've been walking with God for 50 years. They just got saved last week. They should be on probation for another 49 years until they can become like me. But in reality, they are just as much seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus as we are. Amen. They are just as much the righteousness of God as we are. Amen. They are just as accepted in the Son of His love as we are. Amen. And that's what we love about the body of Christ. And I think that's why there's going to be so much celebrating here in the next 2 weeks. There's going to be so much rejoicing here in the next 2 weeks. It's not going to be because we're looking at each other and what we're able to do or accomplish or what we're in the process of doing. It's going to be because of what Christ did for us at the cross. It's going to be a celebration of His work. It's going to be a celebration of His life. It's going to be a celebration of His grace, of His mercy. Because I just love it. I love the way David took matters into hand. He could have said, yeah, well, you're making a good point. They stayed behind. You know, their wives and children, they came, you know, there they are. They're all sitting around in their lounge chairs. They're dipping their toes in the water. Oh, they're back. That's great. Oh, it's so good to see you all. And the wives are like, excuse me, you ever got an extra rolling pin? I need to see my talk to my husband for a little while. No. They should not get... They don't deserve what you know. We went out, we fought. We went out, we did. David said, no, we didn't really do anything. We were led by God. God did this for us. He gave us more grace to go get our enemies and get our wives and our children back. It's all grace. And everybody who is a part of this camp, David said, and Jesus said, everybody that's a part of this body, they all share alike in the blessings. And the spoil of Calvary, which means we are all the righteousness of God. We are all complete in Him. We are all together God's body. And there's no distinction. And that's why there's going to be so much celebrating here in the days to come. Amen? Amen. Amen. Let's pray. Okay, Lord, thank you. Maybe there's someone here tonight that has never trusted Jesus as their Savior. What a great night to do it. And it doesn't matter, you know, where you've been, doesn't matter what you've done, doesn't matter who you are or who you or others think you are. What matters is Jesus came into the world to die for you, to pay for your sins. He came into this world so that He could redeem your life, make you His child, bring you into His family, adopt you as one of His own. And if you've never trusted Christ before, this invitation, well, accept this invitation. Say, Jesus, come into my heart, live, cleanse me of my sin. I want to be born again. I want to know that when I leave this world, I'm going to go into your presence, not because of what I've done, but because of what you did for me. Save me. I'm asking you to do that through Christ. With your heads bowed, your eyes closed. If anyone said that prayer, just put your hand up and put it right back down. Our ushers want to give you a gift, something special for making this decision tonight. Father, thank you. We're excited about the days to come. We're excited about how you're going to move in our midst. We're excited about the anointing of the Holy Spirit. We're exciting for all of our visitors, missionaries to return from the field, to be refreshed, to be encouraged. And we're so grateful, Lord, that we'll be in your presence for each one of these days coming. And we're just so grateful for what you have for us. We know it's going to be good because you are a good, good Father. And we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.